is 6:30, June 28th, 2022. I would like to call the Bull Shoals City Council meeting for the month of June into session. If you'd all please stand and join me in the pledge.
And shut your phone.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please call the roll.
I'd like to make a note that this meeting still on the city calendar is noted for Thursday, not tonight. And I've had a number of people mention to me that they have not been aware that the meeting was moved till tonight. I want it to be on the record, according to the FOIA handbook, it's not a legal meeting.
Mr. Attorney, we have notified the city of this. We've done it through the press. We've done it through posting. We've done it on the city website. Is there anything illegal about this meeting this evening?
Was the press notified at least 2 hours before?
Oh, yes.
Several
days before.
I don't know anything where you're required to do.
Thank you, sir. FOIA away. Please call the roll.
Mayor David Nixon.
Present.
Council members Dino Giannini.
Here.
Joey Greed.
Yes.
Daryl Lindman.
Here.
Charles Kindler.
Here.
David McBee.
Here.
Dr. Davenport.
Here.
We have a quorum to conduct business.
Thank you. You all have copies of the minutes of our last meeting. There's a motion for those to accept those minutes.
Make a motion.
I second.
McBee and Mr. Kindler seconds. Discussion of those minutes. Hearing no discussion, call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes become part of the record. Mr. Dozier couldn't be here tonight, but he has sent a written report. I will read that report. It's the Treasurer's Report for June 28, 2022. The Treasurer's Report for June 28, 2022. The Treasurer's Report for June 28, 2022. Bank reconciliation balances as of May 31st, 2022 are $2,298,412, up $208,646 from a year ago and up $86,000 from last month. This includes all money in the city's 20 accounts, but does not include the monies in the USDA wastewater account or the Arkansas Rescue Plan account. City sales tax collections for May were $42,295, which are up $2,256 from last May. Collections for the first 5 months are up $5,525 from last year. Year-to-date collections are $177,696 versus $172,171 a year ago. Total income for the city of May was $247,166, which is up $27,628 from a year ago. Total expenses over that same time frame are $148,936, which is down $75,410 from last year, resulting in a net income of $98,231 this May versus a loss of $4,808 for May of 2021. Year-to-date income is $1,035,965 with expenses of $831,891. This results in a net income from operations of $204,073. You also made the final payment on the 2012 bond this month. That payment was to Regions Corporate Trust in the amount of $3,062. Any questions on that report? Is there a motion to accept the report into the record? Mr. McBee and Dr. Davenport is the second. All in favor of accepting Mr. Dozier's report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Treasurer's report is admitted. Uh, Chief Ainsworth couldn't be here tonight. He had a conflict, but you have his report. I would suggest that it be entered as written. Do you have any questions about that report? Moving on to fire.
Our report's just the same as it as well. No additional information right now. We're actually kind of getting close to wrapping up our hydrant testing and everything else.
So the hydrants are working?
Yeah. Right now, I think we're working well.
Pressure's sustainable? Thank you. Any questions for the chief? Public Works, you have a written water report, a written sewer department report, and a written streets department report. You have copies of those in your packets. I would submit those as written. Any questions?
On the staffing level, are we back to full staffing? Are we still short?
We are as fully staffed as we can be. Yes. Yes, we're running at a more or less a full crew. So far, so good. And they appear to be hard workers. Any other questions?
This is going backwards a little bit, but I like this study right here. I think there's a lot of good information in there. On that assessment. So.
Yes. Thank you. Is there a motion to accept the departmental reports? Mr. Giannini, is there a second? Mr. McBee. Any discussion of those reports? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Those reports are the record. Ms. Sumner is here for the Planning and Zoning Report.
Ms. Sumner, 1481. We had minutes stand as submitted. We had a good meeting the other night. I informed our members what calls I've received from concerned citizens or what the zoning and planning was. We discussed them. And we'll continue to do an investigation on a few of them. And it was a good meeting, and I particularly enjoyed the people coming to our meeting. It was nice to have some people in there listening and after the meeting discussing what their thoughts were.
Good.
Okay, any questions?
Are there any questions?
Well, speaking of new people, I think, don't we have to?
We do. That is my next item. Yes. Unless anyone else had substantive questions, let's say we need to confirm the appointment of Carol Dust of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Is there a motion to do so?
Make a motion.
Mr. McBee. Is there a second? Mr. Kindler. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of confirming Ms. Dust's appointment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All the best to Ms. Dust. All right. Continuing business.
Is her report standard written?
Yes, she's we need to approve it? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Is there a motion to accept that report?
I make a motion.
Mr. Lindman. And Mr. Greed seconds. Any further discussion of planning and zoning report? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, the report is accepted. On to streets. As I said, I talked to Atlas Asphalt last week. They said that they would try to get started before the 15th of July. They're shorthanded too. They had to pull their crew out for the May 3 start. They'll get back to us. We'll get them paved. The same list of streets that we've been working on for a year, but they're getting close. The next item is the weed sprayer, which is a resolution in your packet. Resolution 2022-08, which I will read. It says, a resolution authorizing the purchase of one Kawasaki mule for the City of Bull Shoals Public Works Department in the fiscal year 2022 budget. Whereas the City of Bull Shoals, Marion County, Arkansas seeks to maintain public safety and welfare through the provision of sound public services, and whereas the City of Bull Shoals, Marion County, Arkansas Public Works Department requires suitable vehicles for viable work in order to maintain the staff of the City of Bull Shoals have researched and identified a suitable vehicle for purchase and use as specified above. Whereas it is the desire of the City of Bull Shoals to purchase one Kawasaki SXXC mule. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bull Shoals, Marion County, Arkansas, as follows. That the Mayor of the City of Bull Shoals, Arkansas, is hereby immediately authorized to purchase one Kawasaki SXXC mule at a cost not to exceed $11,100. Funds for this purchase shall be drawn from the funds specified for such purposes and drawn from residual FEMA funds. Is there a motion on this resolution?
I make a motion.
Mr. Lindman, is there a second? Mr. Giannini. We talked about this at workshop. Any other questions, comments, conversation?
I think it's really going to help with efficiency. What we discussed last week, turning that two-person job into a one-person job. Especially right now, sometimes it's hard to find a person when it comes to staffing a business, so I'm definitely for it.
Yeah, the fuel savings alone are significant with this.
Will pay for itself over the long run.
Pretty quickly, as an addition, when the water and sewer guys found out that we were looking at this, they were really excited because they had to walk down a long hill in the heat to check out a leak. Well, it's no fun walking down a long, hot hill in the woods. So they have plans to see how this works out.
And then Will froze, and then he got stuck on the side.
But Will immediately put the lights on it.
At minimum, we'll get the lights on as soon as possible, but because they're not included in this cost. But at minimum, we'll put a slow-moving vehicle sign on it to make it street legal. But yeah, we'll put a flashing light on it so people don't run it over. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. Thank you.
What's the number on that?
08. Condemnation. Two items on condemnation. Two and a half. You may have noticed that the property at 109 Bull Shoals Dam Boulevard is under rapid demolition. They're taking it apart on the contract that we approved recently. It's coming apart quickly. I just spoke with Pat Franks, who's the contractor doing the work. Moving along. Turns out there's a concrete slab, a very nice concrete slab, underneath the garage. So he wanted to know whether we wanted that slab removed or left. I suggested that I would ask council for guidance tonight, but I'm inclined to just leave it there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
If it's a nice concrete slab, it ought to be a selling point because you could put a building on it.
Put a garage right there.
So, all right. Yeah, I assume he'll be fine with that. Makes life easier for him. The 1960s vintage Dodge Dart has been removed from the garage, which is now a pile of rubble. There was some question as to the condition of that Dodge Dart and its potential value and the city's attempts to recover costs for this. It's pulled out of the garage. It's sitting by the side of the road. You might go by and take a look at it the next day or so because we don't want it to sit there forever. It is not going to be a high-value vehicle. I mean, if it was a V8 two-door, they're worth a lot of money. But this is not a V8 two-door. And it's pretty run down. So we may end up just disposing of it for scrap, which is what we'll probably do unless one of you gets a hold of me in the next day or two and says, oh, no, wait, Mayor, I've got a better idea. But right now the plan is just to scrap the vehicle. Well, there's that piece. Any questions, thoughts, observations? It's coming out of there, and we'll put the property up for auction to recoup some of the expenses. Now, for annexation, you have in your packets, you have in your packet a copy of resolution number 2022-09. I just got this paperwork in the mail, or email, and you will see that it is an estimate. Well, it's not an estimate. It is, in fact, an agreement to provide inspection services for the properties commonly known as the Old Village Mart Mall. You'll see that this calls for Phase 1 environmental assessment. It calls for mold and asbestos surveys. It calls for mold asbestos surveys, structural engineering assessment, and electrical evaluation. It's expensive. All of those inspections and the certified engineers doing those inspections is going to cost us $15,365. For a very long time, people have wanted that property dealt with, one way or another. And it becomes a matter of he said, she said, oh, the building's dangerous, oh, no, it's just ugly, or no, there's nothing wrong with the... We have a motion before the courts to inspect the property, to answer that question once and for all. Is there, in fact, a public hazard in this building? Or is it simply unsightly? Unsightly is not illegal. So that's what we're seeking to address, and this addresses it definitively. This will stand up in court no matter what they say. It will put to bed these questions about the status of that building in ways that the courts will find far more convincing than saying, well, I looked at it, it looked bad to me. So I'll read the resolution while you mull over this item.
We don't have access to it yet, is that right?
We do not. Okay. Why are we doing that? Let me read the resolution, we'll come back to discussion on this, right?
Get this done, and then we'll get access.
Yeah, there's some discussion to it. This is resolution number 2022-09. A resolution authorizing and approving funding to retain building inspection services in the fiscal year 2022 budget. Whereas Arkansas Code Annotated 14-56-203 authorizes the City of Bull Shoals to remove or raise any buildings that have become dilapidated, unsightly, unsafe, unsanitary, obnoxious, or detrimental to the public welfare. And whereas concerns exist regarding the public welfare status of the buildings located at 928 Central Avenue, and whereas further information regarding the public welfare status of those properties is required before it can be determined if those buildings should be removed, cleaned up, and or raised due to the reasons set forth in Arkansas Code Annotated 14-56-203. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bull Shoals, Marion County, Arkansas, as follows. That the mayor of the City of Bull Shoals, Arkansas, is hereby immediately authorized to purchase building hazard inspection and evaluation services from Engineering Compliance Construction Incorporated, as described in the attached vendor letter. The cost of the proposed said inspection services shall not exceed $15,500. Is there a motion to accept this resolution?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second? Dr. Davenport seconds. Now, why now? Well, I've already kind of editorialized on this. If we're going to court to deal with that building, we're going to need convincing proof, and the opinion of the general population is not going to be persuasive to a judge. This is necessary if we are going to proceed with the legal action. Or we abandon the legal action and let it stand as it is and withdraw our court pleading. Now, why now? I don't want to discuss the legal strategy of why the timing of this is now rather than prior to our August court order. but the attorney specifically asked to have this drawn up now rather than wait till August. We have an August 23rd, 28th court date, something like that. And he wants this paperwork in hand as soon as he can get it. He called me today, and I reminded him that we were meeting tonight.
If this was to move forward to condemnation,
yes,
then who would be responsible for the expense of?
It's like every other condemnation. What happens is that when you condemn it, it becomes property of the city. And the city is responsible for doing whatever. That's not quite true. There are two things that you could do. If the court rules in our favor and says that there is a public hazard here in one of these areas, one or more of these areas, we can then attempt to have the, correct me if I'm wrong, but we can then attempt to have the court direct the owner of that building to mitigate those issues. Right? You tell him, fix this. This is a public menace under a court order.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, there would be further steps that we could take. Ultimately, it's one of the problems with government. Without government, we would all kill each other. Mm-hmm. Right? So we have government to make us all more secure in our lives, liberty, and property. When the government starts talking about seizing your property, you're in a difficult area there. Ultimately, the government, City of Bull Shoals government, could seize this property and deal with it like we're doing with the trailer. That would be an expensive proposition.
Very, very expensive.
Yes. One of the reasons that we hadn't done this sooner is that we didn't really have the financial wherewithal to think about it. It would be expensive. But we could mitigate that. Right? We decide whatever we're going to do with the property, and recover our costs through the property. Hopefully it won't come to condemnation. Just filing the legal action has gotten some results.
Yeah, I know they did something and whatnot. There was some stuff around, but you know, this could be pretty heavy duty.
This is definitely the bull in the china closet, but let me tell you, I mean, that's a very... I did a special for a living for a while. That is not a cheap thing to deal with. We're talking tons. We're talking 6 digits minimum. You know, I mean, it's, yeah. if the asbestos is there, you know, and it's but like you say, we get the litigation going, you know, and maybe the property owner will step forward. But he sure hasn't made many moves until we went to court.
Yes, it's when we started all this, look, this is going to be like grabbing a porcupine. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be time-consuming. The alternative is to do nothing. Let it go on as it had. Every one of us here, every one of us in this room has heard people complain, why don't you do something? Well, this is all that can be realistically done, is to try and force action through the courts.
So this particular thing that we're talking about, this $15,000, that doesn't really take effect until after the judge says, go for it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, are we spending money, and then the judge says no, and we're going to lose money if the judge says no?
It is always conceivable. We do not spend a penny on this until access is granted to the building.
That was my question.
No. We will make it clear as these documents are drafted that no services, no payment. No services will be rendered, no payment will be made until the city has access.
Is time of the essence in this? And I had more complaints about that property than everything else combined. Everything else. That's the thing that people, I think, will correct it. But is time of the essence here?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes, there are reasons why timing matters on this. I'd be happy to discuss it, not in public, because...
Basically, you want to be ready to go when the shoe drops. They're just saying...
It would be nice if the owner of the building suddenly... suddenly decided to grant us access without a court order. That would be ideal.
You need a motion on that?
We have a motion. We have a second. We're in the discussion phase. I am conservative by nature. The idea of the government compelling private property use never rests easy with me. I'm very uncomfortable doing it. But someone has to protect public interests, and that is the duty of everyone seated at this table.
If he'd do it, we wouldn't have to.
Pardon?
If he would do it, we wouldn't have to.
So.
Did we have a second?
Yes, we have a motion and a second on the reading of this ordinance. You've seen the documents. Ready to call a question?
Call for vote.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Dr. Davenport said yes.
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 Mr. Lemon, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Giannini?
No.
We have 5-1. Motion passed.
Motion carries. We'll move forward with that. One last editorialization on that. I'm with Dr. Davenport. I mean, I hear about, from the day I became involved as a volunteer in public life, this is something people have wanted addressed. And it has not been possible until now. So we're addressing it. Now we move on to annexation. During our workshop, I distributed a copy to all of you on the ordinance method of annexation for fully enclosed enclaves in the city. You've had a chance to study that, research it, find references, and tonight our city attorney will make a presentation on the question. So, Mr. Morgan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. Basically, what I've got is the same thing you've got, but in general, and I don't think this is what we're here for tonight, but in general, you know, contiguous lands to the city, whether they're surrounded or not, the property owner can always petition the city council to annex their property in the city. In another method, if there's lands contiguous to the city that the city wants to annex, you can do that by election. But neither one of those are what we're here for tonight. What we're talking about tonight is when you've got I call it an island rather than an enclave, but when you've got an island within the city, meaning a particular piece of property is surrounded completely by the city boundaries. And my understanding is there's several of those properties within the city of Bull Shoals. There's several inside of Mountain Home. There's several in Lakeview. It just happens through the years that the way annexations go, you get these little islands throughout. Some little, some large. And so the first thing that I would point out to you is that annexation of islands is a legislative decision, which means it's a council decision. And ultimately what you do is you propose, or an ordinance is proposed to the council, providing for the annexation of particular areas that are surrounded by the city. And when you do that, you have to provide for services that will be extended within that area, which in this particular case, when you're dealing with an island, would be the same services that everybody else in the city gets, because it's not like you're annexing a big tract way outside the city. If it's surrounded, typically, as soon as you annex, those people get the same type of services anybody within the city gets. So you propose an ordinance, and you have to hold a public hearing at least 60 days before the ordinance, before passage of the ordinance. And then, at the next meeting following the public hearing, the governing body, which is, again, a legislative act, can... Let me go back. Public hearing has to be within 60 days of the proposal. I may have said more than 60. It's within 60 days of the proposal. So then you hold your public hearing, and then at the next scheduled meeting, the city would then vote yea or nay on the ordinance. If you vote yea, that annexes the property subject to an appeal process. And it basically, this is unique, and I think one of the reasons the legislature has set this up is because islands within cities, the municipal league will tell you, are not really favored. They try to do cleanup on things like this and keep it to where you don't have those islands. And that's why the procedure is left on islands, not with the people, but with the city council to adopt an ordinance to bring lands in that are in islands. And like I said, about every city that I deal with, as a matter of fact, when the mayor contacted me and wanted me to discuss this with the council, I told him it's a good thing because Hillary Adams had been all over me about home wanting to get something done over there. So it allowed me to kind of look at it for those cities that way. But that's basically what you provided, what you looked at. That's the basic procedure. And if the city wants to go that route, or if they don't, if it's something you want to at least address, we need to get an ordinance, hold a public hearing, and then the ordinance will come back before the council.
So,
and I'm glad to address any questions.
So you draft up an ordinance.
We do. What I would need is for someone, you might want to get Dick Mendel or somebody at an abstract company to confirm, we need to get the legal description of the property. And if you'll provide that legal description to me, then I would draft the ordinance. And then it would probably, the ordinance would come to the council. You wouldn't act on it, but at a council meeting, you would set a public hearing date and kind of set forth the calendar so that everybody knows the procedure.
So we need an ordinance in hand prior to scheduling the hearing.
That would be the preferable way to do it, because if you don't have the ordinance in hand, you really don't have a reason to schedule it. And you can do, I don't know if you're dealing with, my understanding there's several islands. I don't know if you want to deal with one-on-one, which probably would make, I don't know if it makes more sense or not, because you may want some treated differently, I don't know. But you can do it all in one ordinance. You can do a separate ordinance for each island. It's however the city would want to go forward with that.
Questions?
The next step would be,
next step would be for the mayor and I to get together and come up with a proper legal description. Let me draft an ordinance, which we could probably have by July. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's not overly complicated. It might take us longer to make sure we got the right legal description than anything else. And then because we've got to have that to prepare the ordinance. Then we would provide the ordinance. It would not be read, but once the city has the ordinance, an item on the agenda would be to set a public hearing date within 60 days after the ordinance has been presented to the city.
Okay. And then next council meeting.
Then the ordinance would be treated like any other ordinance in the city. You can pass it or read it in three separate meetings. You can pass it. You could vote it out, however you want to do. But I think the way you're reading this, I think you can't set the public hearing date until you have a proposed ordinance. And I think the only way you really have a proposed ordinance is to get that on the council agenda and show that it's proposed and then set the public hearing.
And in that meeting, the public hearing could be set.
That can be set within the next 60 days. But I think you've got to have the ordinance because it says, it's not really clear, but it says a public hearing should be conducted within 60 days of the proposal of the ordinance. Well, I think the only way to be certain that an ordinance has been proposed is for it to be on the agenda to set a public hearing date.
So, any other questions?
The idea of taking the properties in and then being obligated to provide services, city services. How much of a demand could that be?
Well, I mean, city services would consist of police, fire,
sewer,
water, sewer. There's some guidelines on conducting a sewer. I think health department regulations, you have to be within at least 300 feet before the city could mandate. So it's in general all the services that the city provides, but there are some exceptions regarding sewer. And they may already have water. I don't know.
I think they have both down in the one that's now populated. I believe it's I could
unusual,
be wrong, but I believe they have both.
It's not unusual for city water to extend beyond city boundaries, but I don't. Surely your sewer doesn't. That's normally enclosed just within the city limits.
I'm not going to speak about something that I don't know about.
Okay. Most cities don't extend sewer beyond their boundaries. So that, police, fire, that streets, that all that would be part of the city services to be provided.
Am I correct in understanding that as of now, the city police, the bull shows, are not credentialed to go to those areas that are not in the city limits?
Well, they don't. I don't know the exact answer. I'll tell you what I think it's outside their jurisdiction if they're not within the city. So I don't know that the police department would have authority to act.
They have any authority at all?
Don't have any arrest authority if it's outside the city. We have mayor.
They go to Fairview. They go to Fairview. And our fire department.
That's not what he's talking about, bro.
They may have. Your fire departments may have reciprocal agreements. And there can also be reciprocal agreements through police departments. What I'm talking about is if there's an incident in an unannexed area to the city, it would seem to me that that's a county issue and not a city issue.
Right.
Now, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm just telling you in general that's what the law would be, because if you're outside a city property and something occurs in your presence, that's outside of your jurisdiction, unless it occurs in your presence and you follow it into the jurisdiction. I don't know how y'all are operating. I'm just telling you in general what the law is. Okay.
And if there were any activities inside those enclaves would be subject then to county standards and not city standards. Is it hypothetical? If somebody, I don't believe anyone anticipates this, but just as an example, if someone wanted to raise cattle, it would be within their rights to do so.
Your zoning regulations, animal control regulations, not any of that applies to unincorporated areas of the city right now, regardless of whether they're surrounded by the city or not. County, Marion County doesn't have any zoning regulations, anything like that, so it would not apply to that area.
Other questions?
Thank you.
Do you want to direct the attorney and I to draft up an ordinance, move forward with this, and schedule a public hearing? You want to do?
You know, Mayor,
I think you need to look at
people speaking. Hold on.
Ordinance. Here's the thing. You know, if an ordinance is drafted, it doesn't go anywhere unless you vote to set a public hearing on it and go through that.
Correct.
You know, if the fact that we draft an ordinance, there's still got to be, it takes a vote of the city council to set a public hearing date, and if there's not a majority of them that want a public hearing date, then it won't go forward.
And we will do nothing with that ordinance until there is a public hearing with the...
You can't.
Yes, we would encourage as many people as possible to come in and express their opinion.
And that's what, not to interrupt, but... The public is not being denied their right to give input. The law specifically provides for the public to have their input before the ordinance can be adopted. I don't care who gives me direction. If one of the council members says I'd like it to be drafted, I'm going to draft it. It doesn't take a majority vote if y'all want to go that route, because the public's protected because the law specifically provides for a public hearing. It can't go forward without that public hearing. And then the council has to vote to set that public hearing. Then after you have the public hearing, the council has to vote three separate votes to pass the ordinance. So there's plenty of protections for the public doing this. It's nowhere near ready to be presented or passed by the council at this point. There's a lot of things to go through.
It's serious matters. That's why all of the procedural guarantees are there. This is not something to be done lightly. Well, what guidance? Draw up an ordinance? I have one call to draw up an ordinance.
I'm against it.
Same.
All right, tell you what.
Could we suspend and allow citizen comments about it?
Yes, thank you.
You know, in all honesty, whether we decide to do this... I mean,
we're not deciding not to.
I'm just saying, let me finish. If we decide to draft something, we can't do anything without a public hearing. So there's no reason to have a citizen comment right now. Because you'll have plenty of time for citizens' comments. Well, we are making no decisions here. We're writing a piece of paper. As the lawyer said, you're totally protected. Not only are we required to have a citizens' open forum, but then we're required to vote three separate times after that. So if he says, well, I started, I mean, that doesn't go anywhere until after you guys have your total input. To do the input now is really a waste of time because there's nothing we can really say. You're not against it. He's for it, I'm against it. You know, and that's just a fact. You're against it, somebody else is for it. That's a fact, but those are the steps that we have to go through. And believe me, you're totally protected, whether you speak now or you speak now when we say, let's have a public forum.
Well, I'd also like to add that when you have a public hearing, you have public notifications. It'll be in the newspapers, we'll post it around town. We would do everything possible to bring to the attention of as many people as possible that this is under consideration. So it's not just the people who happen to be in the room any one night. We will have engaged in public outreach to make sure that as broad of an input as possible is obtained.
We're going to have 60 days to collect feedback, too, because there's 60 days before the hearing. Mm-hmm. So that'd be plenty of time for everyone to do
this. It's a private meeting. That day will be a private hearing meeting just for
a hearing. Then the one item... One item, and that, yeah, one item only, and that would be it.
Well, I was sitting in a withdrawal.
Pardon? Okay. So, there's one request to draft an ordinance.
One vote against.
I'm not voting.
I'm just saying. I'm just speaking my own personal opinion. Yes. I'm against it. You're for it. But he said all you need is one request, and that's you, Doc. So.
We look at that.
As instructed by the attorney, with one request, we draft an ordinance. It's a big deal. I understand that everybody wants to weigh in on it, as they should. All right, so we'll get together and we'll put an ordinance together for the next meeting.
One other thing that I did cover is just so the flames aren't fanned. There's also a provision in here that says the ordinance can't be enacted within 51 days of a scheduled election to consider annexing part or the area in question. That doesn't mean that you can't do it within 51 days of the upcoming municipal election. Okay? That just means if you were going to have a vote on annexing property, that would impact this particular ordinance. That's all this applies to.
So it has,
municipal election that's coming up to elect mayor and council members and things like that. That's not what this is talking about.
So it has nothing to do with the November
election.
It has nothing
to do with that.
Thank you. That's an important clarification. All right. Well, it looks like we're going to be handling this one for a little while longer yet. New business. Anything else on that? All right. New business. Browns Beach and the parks. This was Councilman Greed's agenda item. I gather you've had a chance to speak with the Chief Ainsworth about this.
Yeah, we decided to sit on it for right now instead of going in and changing one or two things. John and myself are going to get together and probably change a lot of stuff. Instead of doing a couple now and then a couple later, we'll just do it all in one car.
Because the water goes down.
Yeah, well, that is the basic problem, is the water.
Yes.
Maybe the Corps will solve that for us. Let us hope.
It's kind of first served down there. That's all we did
right now. All right. Is there any other discussion of that point, so to speak? All right. Are there citizen comments this evening?
I just have a few simple questions for you, Mary, for quick answers. I'm just curious, what is the compelling reason right now when we're pushing forward with this annexation? And And we looked at, like, what kind of revenue enhancement are we going to be? Is it going to bring a lot more money into the city? Is it going to potentially cost the city money? What's the potential gain for the city? And has the annex, has any of the council been out to talk to the actual landowners that have these properties? Maybe they would like to be annexed. I don't know. I come to all the planning and zoning meetings and have attended since the first of the year. And the one thing I keep hearing from the chair is that there's one person that is pushing the driving force behind this annexation. And obviously tonight, I think we figured out who that might be. And I'd be curious to know what their motivation is. Why is the regular scheduled council meeting moved from June 30th to the 28th today? And what is the scheduling time? Why is the scheduling time not updated on the city calendar? And why was it moved to today and not next week? And what is the city process for moving regularly scheduled meetings? And I talked to
how many? I can't keep track of
that. I'll give you this. And I talked to Bonnie, and she does seem to think that the barbed wire fence on C.S. Woods Boulevard is illegal, so I'd like to know what the, if I can approach him.
Yes. Planning and zoning is a commission. They are independent of input from the mayor and the city council. So they make their rulings, and their rulings are what they are. If in fact they rule that as a violation, there are procedures under the statute to address that. Are there not? So that's the answer to that. We moved it to today we moved it away from Thursday night because it's right before a holiday. We moved it forward because it was still in the month of June. We could just as easily have moved it back a week, but we didn't. We moved it forward instead, 2 days. There really isn't a set procedure. We have a regular council meeting every month. It does not have to be on the same day every time. It's normally scheduled for convenience and consistency on the last Thursday. But we've moved them before. This is not unique. And it's generally because of holidays, so that people can get on their holiday.
Isn't there a new ordinance on that every year that says when the meetings are going to be each month, the last Thursday of the month, with the meeting, with the workshop being 10 days prior on a Monday? I've written that ordinance before. I know it has to be done in the first month. Sorry.
That's time. But why was the calendar not updated? Well, we did update it. We notified everyone. We spoke with council.
We did ask the website, but I noticed today the website did not get moved.
Oh, they didn't change it.
They did not change it, however it was supposed to.
Well, no.
Funny, you guys all showed up. How come you're here today instead of Thursday?
We're not going down that road. The fact that our web provider did not put this on the city's web page, we did notify the newspapers. It was posted around town. So we meet the requirements of the law for moving the meeting, and I explained why. City process, well, we have a council meeting and we decide to move it, which has been done several times, just like this. Fence on barbed wire, I've answered that one. Compelling reason to annex these properties. Somebody brings an issue forward to the council, we address it. Like barbed wire, right? Somebody brings it up, we look into it. In this particular case, I will say one thing. When the law was changed a few years ago, the council did consider annexing those islands. At the time, no one lived in any of them. And the council decided not to do that. Since that time, someone has moved into one, and that potentially changes it, so there's a change in status there, just because there's someone living in one now. As you see, there's an elaborate process to make that decision. It's not a casual decision. We shall see what happens. But if somebody asks the council to consider a matter, and they're a citizen in good standing, council will consider the matter. And that's where we got to that. Revenue enhancement, no, we have not done a cost-benefit calculation on this yet. Annexation discussed with any of the landowners? No, we haven't gotten that far. Single council members pushing for the annexation. Well, I'm not... The person who first brought this forward is a member of the council. Would have been no different had it been you when you're with barbed wire. I mean, councilmen have rights as well. Citizens should know who that council member is and what their motivation is. I can't speak to people's motivations. People lie to me so often. I just have lost faith in human nature.
Thank you.
Thank you. I do get tired of deception. It gets pretty old. Come on up, identify yourself for the record,
Merle
please.
Merle Fawcett, 2052 Central Boulevard.
I'm sorry.
Merle Fawcett.
Fawcett.
Yeah.
Address?
The 2052
Thank you.
Boulevard. The construction going on the mobile home over there, when was that voted on?
Oh, golly.
To approve the bid?
It's the last council meeting.
No, it wasn't. It was brought up at the workshop. At the workshop. It was not voted on.
That falls, that the expenditure of that fund falls within the mayor's discretionary authority.
You didn't open them until the workshop.
No. We opened them on the last day of the month before they were distributed to the workshop.
Oh, so you opened them before you were supposed to open them.
No, we set those bids to be opened the last day of May. I opened them the last day of May at close of business. I brought them to council at the next workshop.
And you just crooked the rest of them.
We advertised for bids. We received the bids. We opened the bids by due process.
Yeah, he's going to lower his bid because he doesn't have to take the concrete out now? Because that was part of what you told me had to be done.
We need to turn that into a flat, level lot. He is willing to take the concrete out if we insist on it. But
he had to lower his bid because if you don't have him take the concrete out.
Why? It doesn't even make
sense.
Because
it takes time and money to take that concrete out and remove it.
The purpose of public comment is not to get into a debate. And I've fallen, I've broken my own... The process already.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next.
Keith Hillman, 107, Hard Time Circle, Clifton, Arkansas, but I am zoned Wolsthold. On this annexing property,
about
Davenport, they have, according to the lawyer, it's considered violent. I'm speaking on Bill Johnson's behalf. He's adapted to the core, something you shouldn't even be talking about. And I'd like to know why that is a priority, why this annexation is unnecessary to even mess with. It's been brought down to the state several times and always come back in Johnson's favor. And yes, you said in 2017 things changed. Well, he's not an island. He's connected to the core.
Well, if that's...
And he does not want to be zoned in.
When we research the full legal descriptions of this, if in fact that property is not an enclave, then it wouldn't be addressed by the ordinance, because we're only going to address fully enclosed enclaves.
All right. And the second thing is you're showing special privileges. I sit here and see four-wheelers on the road. Is that against the law to ride side-by-side four-wheelers on the road?
Yes.
He sits there and drives his... And I've seen it 1,000 times right by City Hall to go to his property. You show my favoritism. It's not how this system should work. And thank you, Mr. Tuck, for this no annexation. You said yourself, Mr. Mayor, you're not into taking land and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
I have
cars.
Real reservations about this process.
There
but
is no
I
reason, it's no benefit. That none of these properties that we're trying to get annexed in is blocking easements for Wolsthold's. Blocking the development of Wolsthold's in any way. Restricting Wolsthold's in any way. So why does it even need to be bothered and waste the lawyer's time? Because it's already been brought through several times for many, many years. And Bill Johnson has all the paperwork. I'm getting it. And it's just really a nonsense. There's so many other things the city needs to deal with than that is what I'm getting at. Do you not agree?
I have reservations about this. I don't know what the right thing to do is, but a citizen has asked for a hearing on this matter, and we give hearings when people ask.
It's almost appointed.
There are people.
It's not fair to.
There is someone who brought forward a barbed wire issue that is not particularly in favor with me. But we've acted on it according to due process. We are obliged to follow due process no matter who the individual is.
All right. Well, just like I said, Johnson is totally against it. And he told me to come speak. I have to speak to work. Whatever you need to get, I'll give it to you.
If it's not an enclave, then it won't apply.
That's not paying
well. We'll find out when we do the title searches.
And he's stepping to the board, and he will stay with your lawyer. It's got to be an item.
We will find out.
Let me just say this. People are supposing a whole lot more stuff's been done. Okay? And the discussion I've had with the mayor backs up exactly what was said tonight. He told me, he said, we've had people request this. We need to look into it. We have not pulled legal descriptions. I can tell you there's one island or 10 islands out there. It really has not been something that is anything has been done on. And one without the public being notified of it.
Like this meeting being switched. I wonder about
that. Well, I'll tell you what. I go to city council meetings all over Baxter and Marion County. If there's this many people here, somehow the word got it.
Word of mouth. That's it. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
We've publicized it through all of our usual outlets. All right. Is there additional citizen comment?
Charles Farrell, 703 Woodland Avenue. All right, Mayor, I was here to see you Friday.
Yes.
The 24th. And, this is in regards to 1104 Bull Shoals Boulevard, known as Angler Resort. The zoning is currently C2. In the previous council meeting, Mayor Nixon announced the new owner will be offering long-term apartment rental. Correct?
I did say that.
Okay. This type of housing falls under R3 zoning. Has there been a zoning revision?
I called it after we spoke. I called the owner of that property. He says, "Nope, that's not correct. That he in fact plans to run it as a motel."
Okay, does that clear that up? As long as that's what's going to happen.
That's what he told me.
You don't need any more
crackdowns.
Yeah,
that's what he said. Well, you're speaking, but we're having a whole set of conversations. All right. Further citizen comment, please.
How many job titles do you
Who
have?
Who are you?
Oh, sorry. Brenna Farrell, 703 Woodland Avenue. How many job titles do you have?
I'm the mayor of the city of Bull Shoals.
And? Isn't there like a condemnation or what is it called? Economic development?
Economic development. The reason that that appears as it does in the budget, when we recreated our entire structure, our entire budget, there was one line for city salaries, and it obscured where the money was going. You could not tell. So when we rewrote the budget, we made it clear where each of the funds was being drawn from.
Okay.
At the time, I was serving as economic development officer, so I wanted it to be clear in the paperwork where the extra $15,000 came from. So we merged it in a city council meeting into that line, and
okay.
It's in the record.
So,
you asked for an explanation. Let me explain it. Let me explain this to you. From that time forward, the mayor has been paid by two lines. We merged them into a simple line, the mayor's salary. An auditor suggested that that is not exactly how the ordinance read, so we separated them in the budget reports. It's
okay.
One job funded through two lines. This is quite common. Now, thank you. It happens all the time.
Okay. Yeah, right. You're out of here.
So when you're voted out of office, are you going to retain that job title?
No.
It'll be done.
As it states in the records from the minutes, the mayor has now incorporated all of those functions in the mayor's office.
Okay. How much did y'all spend in the budget to condemn that trailer over there?
Maybe $400 or $500.
Maybe.
Okay.
By all means.
The court cost to file a lawsuit of $185. That was the lady that we couldn't find. We had to publish notice in the paper. That may run another $120, somewhere in the $300 to $400 range. I wouldn't think it would be the minimum.
So that'll leave you $15. So, with your $15,500 condemnation budget, you're out $400 on that.
No.
Does that leave you $15,100?
That isn't what we're doing. That project, condemning those three properties, there were three properties involved in that. Was a project. It was on its own hull.
Okay.
This building is a separate project, which we have just recently begun.
Okay. So all of that budget will go for one building?
For the inspection of that building, yes.
Okay. And then so nothing left to deal with the rest of Bull Shoals?
As you see in our budget report, the city of Bull Shoals is doing well enough financially to afford an inspection to settle the question of that building. People have been clamoring for action on that building, and it costs a certain amount of money to do the people's work.
Phil Friese, 1503 Carolyn Drive, past city council member. Number one on the meetings. First meeting of the year is usually, and I've written these ordinances, to set up the dates, not in particular exact dates, but dates and times of council meetings, as well as the workshops beforehand. I wasn't going to speak tonight until I started talking about getting paid from two different line items. As a mayor, you're the CEO of the city. You're in charge of all departments, including economic development, which you're getting paid for by that. When was the last economic development meeting you had, and where's the minutes? This is not a question, this is just a statement. Secondly, you're also in charge of the chief law enforcement of the city. You're in charge of the water. You're in charge of the sewer. Why not get paid from those positions as well? All you're doing is bilking the city for money. The only economic development you're doing is into your own pot.
Amen, bro.
You know what you're doing is illegal.
It is.
You've been told.
I have been funded from more than one line on multiple occasions.
And every one of them is illegal.
Then half of the states in the union.
Wait until the legislative committee comes in when you're gone.
Oh, the reason they put it in there that way is to satisfy audit.
Yeah. Just the way you're hiding money through a seat.
Okay, this is way outside the line of citizen comments, y'all. That's way outside the line.
Our concern is not the line.
Step up, Roger. Go ahead.
Pardon?
Step up, Roger. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. My only statement, that's way outside the line of citizen comments.
Have a good day.
You hired me as your
November's coming.
You fired me as your
the wrath of the people.
And to tell you, I don't care at this point. But this is not the purpose of why the state legislature set up these citizens' comments. It's not for that. It's for if there needs to be a public forum set or something like that where people can complain and get political, that's one thing. But this is not what citizen comments were designed for.
I understand that rather than be accused of censorship, we try to give as much latitude as possible. The further citizen comments this evening?
Yes, sir. Jim Cooper, 12 Edgewood Drive, and I wasn't going to speak today.
But when I heard about the chipers, I thought I would let you know that while I don't necessarily agree with it, I think it's a good idea that we're doing something to enable our employees to get around and get into places where they ordinarily haven't been able to provide them a level of safety. However, if you want to get another one, there's currently a grant out there for $18,000 that will provide for one of those. Just if you want to, you know, I just wrote that grant as a matter of fact for some reason. It's available. And the other thing, and I'm sure Mr. Morgan can concur with me on this, you can put lights on it and you can put a slow-moving vehicle sign on it, but it's not going to make it street legal. You cannot drive that on the street. And to address the thing about people driving golf carts and gators, I probably have some responsibility for that, because that wasn't the hill that I was going to die on when I served as police chief. I always told people that you can't drive a gator or a golf cart on the street, but we aren't going to, or ride a lawnmower, which I used to do too, but we're not going to go out of our way to mess with people. So, you know, if we're going to be fair, I think it's reasonable to let everybody know that, you know, I and the officers under my leadership kind of turned a blind eye to that, because, you know, there's a lot of vets in town that use those golf carts to get to Harps or get to the bee, and they don't drive otherwise. So, you know, there's a guy who runs around in the power wheelchair, so we kind of try to accommodate that. But, and the one last thing I want to say is, with all due respect, Mayor, I was on the budget committee. In fact, I'm the one that asked former Mayor Hodgkiss to appoint you to the budget committee with me. And I know that in the four budgets that are currently posted on the website, there has not been consistency, and maybe that's why the question is raised. If you look at the budget from last year, you'll see $74,500 for the mayor and city clerk line item. You don't have a segregation. Then you see a line item this year for $15,000 for the mayor's salary, $25,000 for the economic development director, and the mayor's salary is actually $20,000. So I would suspect that at some point that ordinance was drafted, or you in writing asked and the council concurred and lowered your salary, because the mayor's salary has always been $20,000, and I have those documents if you like. But I just wanted to point that out, because there is an inconsistency on the four budgets that are currently posted on the website as to where those funds come. So I just wanted to point that out to you.
As I said, the minutes of that meeting, which merged those functions into the mayor's office and funded it through those two lines, we did conflate them in our budget reports into a single line once we had made it clear where the money was coming from. The reason there are now two lines is because legislative audit suggested that since the ordinance specified two lines, the budget should reflect that.
I'm not going to argue with you, Barry.
Well, the minutes.
Well, respect, I'm just telling you what the four budgets posted are inconsistent with that salary for both you and the clerk. So, thank you.
Are there further citizen comments?
Will the city have someone watching over our parks, getting the toilet paper for people, cleaning those bathrooms?
Is it even open?
Yeah, the bathrooms are open. Make sure that the garbage goes out. Are we going to supply somebody, a city worker?
Yes.
Good. That was my question. And the other thing is, where did the flags go from the triangle we used to have?
Flags?
Flag at the triangle.
Oh, and there's no flag flying right now?
There is no flag there, and there is no flag at the outside.
Yeah, it actually went and tore it down. I actually took it down myself and took it to Public Works. That was about a month and a half ago.
So
it was actually
know.
Before Shane.
Was that
the
one
from the triangle?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Okay. So haven't replaced it yet? They haven't replaced it yet?
I took the floor up, so it was damaged to the line, so they couldn't put one up immediately, and I don't remember from there. Yeah.
Here's the answer.
Thanks.
The triangle and the inside.
for him?
Hi, my name is Venetia Friesen at 1503 Carroll Drive. I am concerned about the park. Why is there not a host? A camp host? Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Why?
We have had a great deal of trouble attracting and retaining camp hosts. They come, they go, they come, they go. We did not have any applicants to be park hosts this year.
Do you not advertise it to
the We do. We advertise it extensively.
Okay. And you have a sign up there with a phone number for reservations.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have a daughter that's in Florida, and she has made numerous calls on that line, and nobody has answered, and she has left messages for them to call her so that she could make a reservation. And I came in here to pay my water bill, and I asked them, I said, is there not somebody that's going to answer the phone when you call for a reservation? And the lady that is there, she says, just have her call me, I'll transfer it. Well, that didn't work either. So my daughter just ended up going to Lakeview.
Ms. Freeze, I would like to check to see which phone number it is. I know that we are booked, and I had to do the phone today. The person taking the phone calls was not here today.
I'm not talking about July the 4th. I'm talking she wanted to make reservations for July the 16th.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So tomorrow, the camp hostess will be here. Will you have her call tomorrow?
She's already made reservations in Lakeview.
I would like to know. I know there's a number out. There's one. So on the phone number, it's, I believe, 9619, I believe.
It's the one that was on the sign up there. She took a picture of it and sent it to her.
So what I'm trying to finish saying is there has been a gentleman that has called for the last 4 years. There's a time in camp host, no camp host. He'll call here at City Hall and tell us, you need to change your phone number because I'm getting phone calls in the middle of the night in different times, and I'm tired of hearing it. And his number is one digit that is transposed. It's not a 9, it's a 6. And people call that number. I'm not saying your daughter's calling the wrong number. I don't know why she's got the runaround.
I took the pictures. Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I know that we've had quite a few people call. I had people from Star City, Mountain Home, Ohio. I don't know why. No, I'm not saying that you took the wrong number. I'm not saying that. I'm not for sure why.
It seems like there's no campers there this year, and the year before it was full almost all summer long.
Yes, ma'am.
It's part of economic development.
We will see at the end of the month how our camp receipts hold up compared to last year. People say there's nobody in there every year, but there usually are people. Are there further citizen comments? Are there further citizen comments? Are there further citizen comments?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Sure.
All in favor?
Somebody else.
Hold on.
I'm here. Jamie Pimentel, 1207 Woodland. Just a quick question. I might have missed this. Is there an ordinance on utilities in order to live in a home? Do you have to have electric and water to live in that home, or are you allowed to live in that home with no utilities?
I have to say off the top of my head, I don't know. I would assume that you would need utilities, but I don't know that to be a fact.
So you do have to have utilities in order to live in a home?
I would assume. Think it's a city ordinance. I think it's a health state of Arkansas health department regulation. I think if you're going to occupy, you have to have, I don't know about why, you have to have someone that disposes of sewage. Okay.
Would stand to reason.
Fair enough. Okay. So, just real quick question. Where does the funding that we make off the park, where does that funding go? Like, do we put it back into the park? I mean, I understand there's electric and water that has to be made. So the funding goes straight there. All of it goes back to the park?
Yes, it goes back into parks and campgrounds. And people sometimes say that it costs. There are people who think that that's an unnecessary expense. City shouldn't be doing it. People who love the park, the park basically breaks even every year. It comes in right around its own operating and maintenance costs.
If it ever does break over, is there any possible way that maybe it can get repaved? I mean, I've lived here a whole lot, and it's never been repaved, and it's horrible.
We put that street on the paving list, the original paving list that came before council for action however long ago it was, last year. And there were citizens in citizens' comments who were irate. They stood up and they demanded that that street be removed from the city's paving list. So we would have paved it this year. But citizens were quite adamant that that shouldn't be done.
I just feel that it's fair enough if the people are spending the money to save the park, that it should be a very nice park for them to
repair. I agree.
We agree.
Yeah, well, we
do. And not only that, but our citizens of Bull Shoals actually walk it when the park is closed.
We tried to pave it. Citizens objected, and it was removed. I mean, because that's the process for paving.
I just figured that would be a better ordeal than sidewalks, but I mean, yeah.
Another. I need a second on the. Any more citizens?
Is there a second on the motion to adjourn? There's a second.
All right.
All in favor?
All right. Aye.
We're adjourned.
You know, it's not every day I'm looking to cut your throat. I was trying to point that out, so people brought that up. It's fucked up with the budget. If you fix it, then you'll get nothing to worry about.
Yes.
I understand it, but on this public website, that's how you do it. It's really tricky. You're right. I agree with you. I agree with you, Dave. I don't disagree. But what I'm saying is, one of the things
that
and it's posted on Facebook. So she was trying to budget and she wanted to look at to make an issue of it. All I'm saying is if in the 20 budget it says Mayor City Clerk, 74 something, you segregated amount the next year, which is.
I know that.
So they want to take that and turn it into a criminal act. As you know, public employees are funded by more than one line. Quite routine.
Yes, but my point is that the reason I brought that up and the reason she brought that up is because we're trying to stir shit, number one. And number two, it's out there on the website. And they're going to, just like this film, now all of a sudden he's called up from under his rock. Anything that they can, they're going to work up. So
I am well aware of it. All I can do is follow the laws.
I understand that. And good job. I'm glad to see you're going to spend the money on tomorrow. I think that's a great idea. Aren't you spending the money on parks?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's not even
demanding action.
They've
been demanding action on them for all these years.